It's 7:30 on KVMR, and now it's time for all the news you never knew you needed to know until now. Here's Travis T. Hipp.
Well, Bangkok is burning. Really strange kind of Zen Taekwondo approach to the problem over there. Yesterday, last night, the leaders of the Red Shirt Movement surrendered to the police, which is interesting in that the streets are being controlled by the army, which army is basically attached to the military coup that overthrew the legitimate government some 8 years ago. That's how this whole thing came down. But meanwhile, the leaders, the official leadership of the Red Shirts, which was shrinking daily as they were being starved out of their encampment, had surrendered to the police, at which point things came unglued, riots in downtown, burning of major business buildings in the center of the city. The whole game. Anarchy for mere moments, which will undoubtedly put further pressure on the government to either crack down really hard or step aside, which is what the Red Shirts were trying to accomplish in the first place. In the meantime, the leadership of the Red Shirts guaranteed that they are relatively safe, locked up in jail. Meanwhile, elsewhere, you've been waiting for the long-touted offensive to begin in Afghanistan. Well, apparently it's begun, not by us. 2 days ago, convoy south of south of Kabul attacked and five Americans killed, a couple more wounded, as essentially the breakdown of the convoy protection system in that area between Kandahar and Kabul has been predicted. The reason? Hamid Karzai's brother is the provincial leader, council leader of Kandahar province, and he also has the contract to protect the convoys between Kabul and Kandahar. We have been reneging on the contract because it turns out that the way he keeps them safe, instead of protecting them with lots of guns, is he bribes the Taliban not to shoot at them. So we're giving money to him to protect the convoys, which he then splits with the Taliban in order to not get shot at. We have suddenly discovered this and quit paying him, and now the Kandahar convoys are under attack. Meanwhile, today, yet another American, this one a contractor, and six of our troops were wounded up near Bagram. That's the air base that we maintain about 50 miles north of Kabul. That has been, until now, relatively safe from attack, and this wasn't much of an attack. Mortars, rockets, things of that nature, small arms fire, but it is an attack that will divert a great deal of attention and interrupt the supply logistics for whatever it is that we claim we're getting ready to start to commence to do down in Kandahar. In this country, some people had been wondering exactly where Mr. Faisal Shahzad is. I mean, where is he physically? Who is it that's questioning him? How come he has not been dragged into court and arraigned on the five charges that we claim we've got him on? So yesterday they brought him to court and he had a hearing. He waived his right to hear the five charges against him and disappeared into no man's land again. Some folks say it's Gitmo in Manhattan. The next appearance in court scheduled for the 1st of June, maybe he'll be arraigned then. The oil situation continues to flow. The attempts to cut down and siphon some of it off are increasingly effective, but so far no real plug on the spill itself. Some major oil beginning to show up on a few of the outer islands in Louisiana where they've gone to a full emergency. Unfortunately, some of those floating barriers have broken, and so oil has gotten ashore in a few places. Those oil tar balls that were reported down in Key West have now been analyzed. They are not from the oil spill, and there's still a great deal of question as to exactly where most of that oil is and where it is going to go. Meanwhile, this time it was they made another try to raise the liability for $75 million to $10 billion, it would have passed in, by unanimous consent, except that Senator Murkowski, or Congresswoman Murkowski from Alaska, blocked it last time. They tried again yesterday. Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma blocked it. So we can see who it is that's in the pocket of big oil, and it'll be interesting to see what they get in the next election, not only in votes, but in payoffs. The elections yesterday, touted as a measure of American dissatisfaction with Washington, D.C., might be interpreted that way. In Pennsylvania, Senator Spector lost to his challenger, Joe Sestak. Spector's 80 years old, twice a cancer survivor, and had to switch parties to even stay in the game, whereas Sestak is part of the new wave of Democrats in that area. Democrats also captured a congressional seat that had previously been held by John Murtha. Means that that's a fairly victorious thing. The Tea Party won in Kentucky, brought in Rand Paul, the son of the Libertarian from Texas, and he has come to the game saying, yes, it was the Tea Party, and I'm going to Washington to pass the word that the people are angry. So there is a victory there, and the Tea Party wins one in Arkansas. It's going to go to a runoff. Blanche Lincoln narrowly beat her Lieutenant Governor challenger on this one. It'll be an interesting race, but nothing. And then there's Oregon. Does anybody know who was running in this primary in Oregon, or what it was about and why it was important? I haven't heard a single word. Sometimes I wonder, other times I'm sure. And that's enough news for now. I'm Travis T. Hip on KVMR Nevada City, where it is pledge time. All of you are supposed to get out your checkbooks or your pocket change, throw it in a bucket, and send it down to the radio station. And don't forget to include the 37 cents surcharge for high test news that you get on this station. None of the foregoing commentaries and opinions have in any way reflected reality as perceived by this station, its management, owners, sponsors, or staff, but are solely the responsibility of myself and Cabal News Services.